So we are studying in Genesis as an overview to kind of lead into to something else. So we're not taking every verse, but we're just trying to get some background information so we can kind of move to our next phase here. So I was going through it. It's taken longer than I expected because I'm trying to keep us up on world events as well. And the same will hold true for today. Every time I think, well, we're going to be able to really, you know, delve into some stuff in Genesis. A lot of stuff happens during the world. And I feel like as Christians, when things happen in Israel, Mideast, and things that the Bible prophesies may have an effect on the events, the Israel and the events of the future. I feel like we need to understand that, know it, and we don't use the world events to interpret the Bible. We use the Bible as the lens, and then we look out and see what's happening. And God said, Jesus said, you know, watch and be ready, and that's part of watching and being ready. And so we'll take a few slides. I'm going to pray, and then we'll take a few slides, and then we'll get into the book of Genesis as well. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the day. We're thankful for everybody that's here. And Lord, we just pray that you'd give us a good study today, that you'd help us to learn and grow in your knowledge and your grace. Thank you for our visitors that are here. We thank you, Lord, for the good results that Joe had. And we pray for these others, Lord. We remember Fain, his family. We pray that you would comfort them, that your grace would be, Lord, with them at this time. We pray for Donald Hendon, Lord, faithful to our church, faithful to our services. We just pray that you'd be with him, help him to heal up as well. Others that we have on the prayer list, Diane Biffle and others, many others we have on the prayer list. Lord, we pray that you'd be with each and every one. Once again, we pray also, Lord, we pray for the morning service. We pray for our pastor as he brings us a message. We pray, Lord, it be just what we need and that our hearts would be ready to receive it. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me start with talking about Russia for just a second, because they're playing a role, a big role, an outsized role a little bit in some of the events that are happening, and they have a lot of things going on. Now, Israel has more things going on than anybody, more or less fighting in seven fronts, but Russia got attacked from the inside this week by, it's been identified now as an Islamic State, Khorasan, I think it's called. And they're a little bit of an offshoot of the old ISIS, and they basically are Muslim, and they're Sunni Muslim, and I don't want to go through all the Sunni and Shia, but they're sort of always trying to disrupt stuff with the Shia Muslims. That's what they do. And so they're the ones that did the attack in Iran not too long ago. They've caused a lot of other problems. When we were pulling out of Afghanistan, they didn't really hit U.S. too much, but they picked off some of the others, Shias there, and they're just always causing trouble. And if you remember, about maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago or a month ago, in our news, they warned the United States citizens to, if you're in Russia, don't go to the theaters and concerts, just because the U.S. had specific information on a plan there. And the U.S. had told Russia as well, you better keep your people, you better, that's a real threat you need to pay attention to. And you may have heard it or not, but Putin got up and mocked that. I mean, he said the West was trying to disrupt, you know, Russia with misinformation and so forth. And so he did not act on it. And sure enough, they had the thing. I don't know how many are dead now. 143 was the last number I heard, but many injured. And so the point here is, and Russia tried to link this to Ukraine. And yet Ukraine is spending their time, really trying to fight Russia off and damage their oil wells. Now, I'm going to get into several things here. On the next slide, I'm going to go to the next one, but just so we see the map, there's Ukraine, there's Russia, Ukraine. This little country called Moldova, right here. That country is a lot of former Soviet Union people live there, and a lot of Russians live there. And so what happened, and I'll just kind of, you don't have to, if you can't read this, don't worry, but what happened is a drone went over and destroyed some things in Moldavia, and so they and Russia are blaming Ukraine. And what the U.S. is saying is this is exactly how Putin starts his own war. That's what he did in Ukraine, is you know, he'll pretend like there'll be an attack, a drone attack. He'll pretend like it's you, and I'm going to now go after you. And so that's what he's doing there, is that's what is being said, that's what he's doing there. So the point is, these folks that say Russia is not going to open up another front, not going to keep going and so forth, and threats they're making against other countries, even allied countries of ours, it appears to me that he's continuing on, and we will see how this goes, but he's got a lot of issues on his hands. So an internal strife, there's 30% or so of the people that live in Russia that are not genetically, let's say, Russian. They are Muslim or Ukraine, and they're not happy with how things are going. They're not happy about much of anything, and yet Putin declared his own election a couple of weeks ago, and he claimed he got 80 or 85% of the vote. And, you know, that's what you can do. Just say, well, I'm going to have election today, and I won. And you know, and keep moving on. And that's kind of what he did. And so a lot of people are not happy. And so you just have a lot of unrest in that region. And that might not be so significant prophetically, except for a couple other things that we will talk about. But it is in the fact that Putin has invited the Houthi rebels to Moscow for strategic talks, as well as Hezbollah, and as well as Hamas. And so they're all meeting together. That's three primary enemies of Israel all meeting in Moscow. And so there is just it's worth keeping an eye on what is going on over there. And it's really something we haven't seen in a good while. In the meantime, Ukraine is using their drones and starting to attack Russian oil equipment and facilities, and industry facilities and so forth. And when that happened, of course, that is what is really financing the continuance of Russia. Russia's demographics really look horrible. They don't have enough. In 10 years, roughly, and if something doesn't change, well, in 10 years roughly, there will not be enough, genetically speaking, Russian people to have an army. There will not be enough. And because they're got too many elderly, and they didn't have kids for a long time, and their demographics look really horrible. And so, that's the reason they've brought a lot of people in. But those people are not necessarily loyal to Russia. And so if there was going to be a war with Ukraine or other issues that they're going to have, it was going to happen now, because in 10 years they're not going to have enough people to serve it, to really to have a viable army. I'm not saying you wouldn't have any. They've still got a few million, but I'm just saying you're not going to have what you have near what you have today. So Ukraine is striking their oil fields and going to make a big dent in how they could carry on, because that's where they get their money. And a lot of money. And then the U.S. sent a note to Ukraine and said, hey, don't hit those oil fields. This is 2024. This is an election year. You hit those oil fields, the price of gas in the United States is going up. And so, you know, fight back, but don't hit those oil fields. And so Ukraine responded. This is from Bloomberg. And they defended it and said, no, we are going to keep hitting the oil fields if we can. And so there's a little bit of disagreement now. Normally, because all of millions we've sent Ukraine, when Washington calls Ukraine and says, do this or that, they do it. But we got a little disagreement now going because Ukraine knows if they're going to survive, they're going to have to deal with that the oil industry of Russia and the United States because of the election. And nobody likes high gas prices. You and I don't. I'm not trying to make a defense or not a defense or anything political today. That's not what we do here at all. I am just trying to give us the facts of what's going on. And because of the election, there's some changes going on. The same for Israel. I've got just two or three more slides, but the same exact thing for Israel. This is from Rosenberg. Anything Joel Rosenberg, maybe not anything. He's a Christian Jew over in Israel. The Rosenberg report is a solid report. I'll say it like that. And when he says the U.S. and Israel relationship is headed for a train wreck, you can be sure that it is, and in fact it is. In fact, this is reported by the Sun in New York, the New York Sun, and Biden is starting to slow walk the weapons. So Israel's got the Iron Dome, and they also got that's a defensive weapon, very, very effective. They've got a lot of offensive weapons as well. Israel's probably going to open up a war in the north, Lebanon, any day now. Everybody from Israel has moved out of the northern parts of Israel. Not everybody, maybe, but complete villages are gone. And they're relocated in the central and southern part of Israel. And Israel looks to be gearing up to fight because Hezbollah there, they're just really into it. And so, but they can't fight if they don't have arms. I mean, when you start shooting bullets, you need more. And so the Biden administration has started to slow walk them. They tried to deny it. Then this came out from the defense post. This is from Israel, that the U.S. is slow walking military aid to Israel. This is a prophetically and biblically, this is a very dangerous position for the United States of America. We should not be, if you want to be neutral, I don't know what God would do with it, but the difference is God's asking us to bless Israel.
That's right.
If you curse Israel, if you get on the wrong side of the fence here, you're on the wrong side with God. And God will deal with that. He's proven that many times and will deal with that. And so this is not a good... This just all happened just the last few days, and this is not a good thing to be going on. Of course, once again, we got this election. I'll just say more about it in a second. Let me say one more thing. Of course, Chuck Schumer, this is from The Hill. This Chuck Schumer got up and, declared that Israel needs to have another election and get rid of Netanyahu. And Netanyahu called back and said, hey, another country is not supposed I'm fighting a war on, many fronts here and dealing with a lot of things. And also he's trying to deal with the financial situation because that war is expensive. Moving people out of the north because of the rockets that are hitting, all the kind of thing. And you're telling us we got to stop and have an election. And, we're not going to do it right now. I mean, we just, you can't, now Chuck Schumer got, this one says he should get out, doesn't get it, should stay out of politics. You could say he made a mistake. He knew exactly what he was doing, and everybody in the administration knew. We're not naive enough to think that that didn't happen because it was planned. And so, once again, it's showing that United States is pulling away from the nation of Israel, which we've talked about. And again, once again, it's not a good place to be. And come to find out, this is from Newsweek. This is dated Friday. So Friday, Newsweek put out that Hamas had issued a 2024 election warning to Joe Biden. And they basically said, you're going to lose Michigan. We do everything by electoral college and by state and in our elections. A lot of Muslims live in Michigan. You're going to lose Michigan and the Muslim vote if you don't start changing your perception, who you're going to be for in this war. And that explains what he's doing. He's pulling away from Israel. I'm not saying he's pulling toward Hamas. I'm just saying he's definitely pulling away from Israel and probably pulling out completely, it looks like to most people, of the United States trying to pull completely out of the Mideast, which is a very difficult situation. Nobody denies that, and a complex place to be. So it was announced in the State of Union that we would build this bridge, this temporary port on the Gaza Strip. This is a picture of one. This is not the one we're building. It will be nice, I'm sure, and big. But you know, something that's temporary that you can go from water to land. This is a good map of. I don't like the Palestine word here, but this is the Gaza Strip, and this is where they want to build it, right here. So right now, if you're going to attack Israel, you have to do it by air. And as long as you have a strong Iron Dome, Israel's protected. Now, you and I know, as long as God's looking after Israel, you know, the Bible says the one who looks after Israel doesn't slumber or sleep. And so God's not caught off guard. But just humanly speaking, it's difficult to, so there's a lot of mountains here. You know, Lebanon, they're fighting by air. It's Jordan and Egypt here that border Israel really don't want other countries traipsing through there going to war with Israel, because it will greatly disrupt their country. And so they are not allowing that to happen. So for that reason, and because there's no unguarded port here, Israel has been safe in all this time. And so for us to build this thing is a major issue in Israel's defenses. And nobody in Israel is for this. You can say, well, Netanyahu's not for it. Let me tell you, nobody, if you select the most left-wing person to run Israel, they would be 100% against this. Jordan and Egypt are not for it. Now, why are they doing it? They're doing it to get food into Gaza. We've talked about Gaza many times. There's at least 2 million people still there. They import 90% of their food, probably by now 100% of their food. They've got 50% of their energy that they produce themselves, so they import a lot of energy needs as well, primarily from Israel, by the way. But, I mean, they have to have supplies, and it's been difficult. The trucks have been difficult. The airlifts have not been all that successful. And so it's probably also, you know, political, so that the Washington can show, look, this is what we're doing, and try to hold Michigan until after the election. It'll be quite an interesting, from March until November, it's going to be an interesting ride. And then depending on who wins, no matter who wins, it's going to be interesting to see what happens after November. Maybe the Lord will come back before November, and then we don't have to worry about that. What the Bible says, and we're going to later, if I get to it, we're going to look at a verse or two in Ezekiel, but I don't know if I'll get there today, but there is a prophecy of an army coming from the north upon Israel in Ezekiel 38 and 39, that a coalition, Gog of Magog, and a coalition coming down. And if you put a port there, so the port would be right here. So Saudi Arabia, by the way, is very much against this port, because it opens them up to just anybody able to come through, you know. It's really, and the United States pulls out, who is Gog going to be? Is that the guy in Turkey? Is that the guy in Russia, you know, or somebody else? But the army from the north, it is highly likely that it is, you know, if you take Turkey, the southern area of Russia, or Russia itself, that's where that person is going to come from, that and then many, many with him, many in that army. And what a great, these could all use this sea port entry, which up to now you couldn't have, and we're the ones building it for them, to let them ride in there. If that happens, you can just turn there to Ezekiel 38 and say, that's what, we better read that and watch it happen right before our eyes. We will see if that's what happens, but I'm just saying up till now, it's not been clear how that northern army would get in there, and if we build that thing, that's going to be clear. Who are we siding with these days? We haven't really been all that friendly with Saudi Arabia. We're not friendly with Israel. We've had a terrible relationship with Turkey. I mean, that's the big ones. We tried to do the deal. I'm talking about the administration in Washington, tried to reinvigorate the deal with the Iran deal that Obama had done. Trump canceled it. Biden was trying to get it back. So we've not been successful. And come to find out, this is like 2 weeks old news from Reuters. We, the United States and Turkey, have kicked off comprehensive talks to realign. Now that sends shivers down my spine because, you know, for us to align like that with Turkey, you know, I could show many slides. I'd left them out because I didn't want to take the time, but I could show some slides where Erdogan is showing the maps of Israel and how he wants the Temple Mount and he wants the port. You know, I've even shown them to you before. You can go back to previous ones or I can show it another day. But Turkey's got their eye on Israel. And we are, I'll just say, what's happening is we are pulling out of the Mideast. We're pulling out our support for Israel, and we're handing it over to Turkey. If you just want to boil it down, that's what happened. And you got Russia. I could show you a picture. I've showed it to you before of the leader of Iran, leader of Turkey, and the leader of Russia, Putin and Erdogan and Rossi, all standing together, you know, shaking hands and aligned. That's who we're lining up with. Now you could say, we're not lining up with Russia. We're on Ukraine's side. Well, we were until Ukraine started hitting their oil wells. And now we're backing off them. And I'm just saying it's a very interesting thing out here. And we will have to see how this works out. But right now it's a very concerning moment that really and truly, when you turn on your news channel, you don't even hardly hear about it today. But in fact, biblically, it's a very concerning moment in our time frame. So we'll see how it goes. I really don't like to do that and then get on something completely different for 20 minutes. It chops things up, and I don't like it myself. I'm sure you don't. But I just felt like we had to go through that to understand it a little bit. But I do want to end it there and move over to the book of Genesis. So we're going to completely a little bit change. And I want you to know I do try to fight against that, but it's where we are. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. I hope it, you know, if nothing else, I hope it helps you pray for Israel and pray for the leaders of our country. And I know that's not easy, but that we are commanded to do that. And we need to pray that they make good decisions. And we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's what the Bible tells us. And so, you know, that's what we need to do. Now, we finally got in Genesis 6, we finally got, look at, we got the ark built, remember? It's a big, big thing, right? We got it built. Noah got it built. And we were talking about the animals, you know, and the Bible says in chapter 6, verse 20, verse 19, of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee, they shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. Now, we've talked about this, but just to know a couple things. One, if it rains around here, usually in May, we get thunderstorms and so forth in June, then it heats up. What do we have? We have mosquitoes. And I always hear, every now and then you'll hear somebody say, I wish Noah hadn't taken two mosquitoes on the ark, because then we wouldn't have mosquitoes today. But in fact, what Noah took was a male and female of a certain kind. Kind is not one of everything. In other words, a kind is a group of genetically of genetic individuals that can breed within that group. And so the dog kind, He took two dogs, a male and a female. He did not have to take, you know, a German Shepherd and a poodle. He only had to he just took whatever they were. It's two of that kind. That's what it says. And the same with a cat. What has turned out to be genetically now a domestic house cat, as well as a cougar, all were in one. And I'm going to show you why how that's possible. But that's how you could get. So you say, because the people that don't believe the Bible say you could not possibly get every animal and insect and reptile and creeping thing, all these things, you could not get all those on that ark, even though the ark was big. Oh yeah, you can. Because all God had to do was get the genetics of those things on the ark. That's all he had to do. And he didn't have to get every breed of dog on the ark. That happened later. We're going to talk about that as we go, if I ever sort of get there. But God knew what to bring on that ark, because the Bible tells us, yes, Noah brought them on the ark, but look at the last part of verse 20 when it says, after his kind, two of every sort. Now, there were some sorts as well as kind. I don't want to go into all that, but there were. I will concede that. But it says what? They shall come unto thee to keep them alive. So who made the choice of what got on that ark? God did. Noah basically stood there with the door of the boat open, and here they came. They came to Noah. That's what God did. He had the animals migrate to him, and the right ones with the appropriate genetics that we yet see today came on that ark, you see. And so Noah did not have to do the selecting. Now, he brought them. He took them on. I'm not saying God didn't use Noah, but God was orchestrating the whole thing. And God, we talked about, had to make a major decision there. On which genetics he was going to take. Look at chapter 7, verse 1. The Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. I just point this out. I like the word come there. If you came up to me, a couple hours ago, and we were in church here, and you said, Mike, I've got an urgent need to go to your house and borrow your lawnmower right now, I'd say, well, go get it. Go get it, right? I'd say go. I wouldn't say come get it. I would say go, because I'm already here. But if it was this afternoon and I'm home and you call me and say I need to borrow your lawnmower, I would say what? Come over, because I'm already there. The reason I like the word come there is God was there. You see that? God was in the ark. When he says come, Noah, come on in, Noah, that means God's standing there, isn't he? I didn't say in person, but God was going to be with Noah. I'm sure that was a comforting thought, and that was not there by accident. God put that in there. And as I said, let's keep going. Verse 4. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Verse 10. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. So God made the decision there of who would go in there. Noah was a preacher. He tried to get others to come, but nobody would join. Verse 7, and Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. So Noah, his wife, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives, and that was it. That's everybody that went into the ark right there. So God made, not only with animals and insects, but God made a major decision with genetics right there as well. Now you say, look, this is not a science class. We don't really want to know this. The only reason I take a minute every now and then and talk about a couple things is because it's a senior adult class. Probably people don't come up to you very often and and argue about, you know, evolution, or argue about the if the Bible is true or not, or say, look, that couldn't possibly. But to your kids and to your grandkids, that happens every day. The Bible could not possibly be true. There's no way that, look, there's people, are you telling me that let's say six people, because we know the progeny of Noah, so from six people there, Noah's three sons and their wives, we have all the kind of people groups that we see today. Impossible, you know, they would say. But in fact, God knew what he was doing. He did the same thing with humans that he did with the animals. And God knew exactly what he was doing. And he had those six to work with. Now, I'm just going to give, so for that reason, and for another, later on, I'm going to give you a quick example today. I'm going to try to, if you don't like science, I'm going to try to keep it to 3 or 4 minutes. Then I'm going to move on here. But it's going to be important as we kind of go along as well, because when we keep going here, and the Bible says, for example, these people one day are going to do this, attack Israel or rule the world or whatever they're going to, or these people are going to do this. Some of those names we don't recognize today. We don't understand, we don't recognize the name of the nation. Who would those people be today? What's happening a little bit in this world is with genetics and DNA tracing and so forth, you can actually see who these people are. And so we will be able to watch the Bible continue to be fulfilled before our very eyes. One of these, this next slide, so again, I'll make it short, but this next slide is about the chromosome 23, that we all have 23, all of us have 23 pairs of chromosomes. We got in their pairs. We got one of them from our mom, one of them for our dad. No matter what you hear from Washington or from other places, you got one from your mom and one from your dad. That's the way it works. For the ladies, chromosome 23, which determines the sex of someone, the ladies have two, and they're both what's called X chromosome. The men have X and a Y. If that Y gene shows up, so this is one progeny right here. One son got a Y gene, got an X gene. That's always a male, every single time. This is a girl, got an X gene and an X gene, so it's a girl. Here's a boy, X gene and a Y gene. A girl, X gene and an X gene. You get that Y gene, you're a guy. You have two X's, or you get an X gene. You're going to always get the X from your mom, but if you get the X from your father, and you'll get the X from your mother, you're female. Now, genetics is complicated, and there's a little bit of what's called in this, when you have a pair of chromosomes and they split because you got to give half of it to the progeny. There's some stuff that goes on there. Some what we call crossing over, and there's some genetic changes there, especially among the X chromosomes. As it turns out, the Y chromosome, it really can't recombine with anything because there's not a Y chromosome there. And so, men, you essentially have the Y chromosome from your father with maybe two or three minor changes. And you essentially have the Y chromosome from your grandfather with maybe two or three genetic changes. It's almost the same, because there's been no change at all. For that reason, I don't have them on here now. I had them in an earlier slide and didn't get to it. We can go back. I'm going to show you one of these days when I get to it, the chromosome haplotype, we call it, of Shem, Ham, and Japheth on the Y chromosome. I will show you that. So when you can do that, you can do a lot of things. And so we'll be talking about that later on. That's the reason I wanted just to bring that up. Now, again, How did God get all that genetic diversity on the ark in the first place? And I'm just going to, you probably all had this in biology in high school. And if you passed, you know all this. This is the most simple combination everybody uses on eyes. Let's say you get what we're going to define as, look at this next one. If it's got two big B's, one from your mom, one from your dad, you got brown eyes. If you have a big B from either your mother or your father, and you got a little B, you got brown eyes because the big B is dominant. You got brown eyes. The only way you can have blue eyes. Now there are exceptions because there's mutations that happen these days and things that happen. There are exceptions, but I'm just saying by and large, you have two little B's. You got one from your mom, one from your dad. You got blue eyes. If you got blue eyes, that means you had to have two of these, which means both your mom and your dad are heterozygous, it's called. And so, because there's no other way, without a mistake, kind of a mutation or something happening. So I have brown eyes. I could be this or I could be that, right? But I have a son who's got blue eyes, so I know that, and Donna's got brown eyes, so I know that, in fact, both of us are heterozygous. Big B, little B. I got one from my mom, one from my dad. My dad's got blue eyes, so I got my little B from him. You see, that's sort of the way it works. And my daughter, she's got brown eyes, and so the question is, does she have this or does she have that? We look at her daughter, blue eyes. She's got that. See? So it's very simple. But my point is, so there's some, that's a simple thing. There's some genes, there's some traits that we have that take this many genes. You know, it's not just one single big B or little B. It's B's, C's, D's, E, you know, it's many, many things. It's my conclusion and others that when God brought Shem, Ham, and Japheth on that ark and knew exactly what he was doing, almost every gene combination was heterozygous to give us the chance, you see, to have differences. Now, when we get a little bit later, a few chapters down the road into chapter 11 and the population, because you might think about this. Remember, I brought it up one time. How come is it probably not even grammatically correct. Why is it? Why is it that there's whole continents of people that don't have blonde hair? Or that have this or have that. You know, there's major things in this world that happened there where there was pretty major division once upon. All that happened in Genesis 11 on the dispersion. We're going to talk about that when we get there. So God brought all those genetics in the world. He increased the population and he got them all sorted out like he wanted to. Man sinned at the Tower of Babel and God sent those genes a certain direction. That's what allowed, you know, the poodle to end up over here and the German shepherd to end up over here. Because there's no way these folks could have a German shepherd. They didn't get the genetics, you see. I just give you all that to say, when God says he did it, he did it. You know, he did it. I'm going to ask you, if you would, I'm going to hold your place in Genesis, but I want you to look at this verse. I could have put it on the screen, but it's an important one for you to always have in mind. Acts 17. Acts 17. Acts 17 and verse 26. Because people say also, well, you're in the Old Testament, you're this, you know. Let's go to the New Testament then for 1 second here, and then I'm going to have to keep going. Acts 17, verse 26. This is Paul preaching when he was at Thessalonica, and he gives us some information here. He was actually at Mars Hill there. And hath made, so this is the message he gave at Mars Hill. And he had made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Now, if you study that verse, that is a powerful information-packed verse. We are all made of one blood, one. There should never have been. Whoever started this thing about race was not even following the Word of God. We all are of one blood. The fact that people have differences, whether it's in skin color, the color of their hair, the color of their eyes, the shape of their eyes, or how it is, all due to the fact that God put Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their three wives on the ark in a heterozygous format, genetic format, and then at the dispersion separated them out. That's all it is. There should never be. God did not intend for there to be any. One blood is what God said here. For all the nations, all. Does your verse say, the Bible say, all nations of men, for to dwell on the face of the earth? Folks, that ought to tell us something right there. We are all the same. God also, just throwing this in because it's in the verse, he determined the times appointed. Who determined it? God did. Determined the times appointed and the bounds of their habitation. You say, no, we're going to go do this, do that. We're going to go to Mars. Maybe we will. But if we do, it'll be because God's allowed it within the bounds of our habitation. Whatever we're able to do, God has preset it and allowed it. We're not going to get outside of it. We're not. So, you know what? I'm 2 minutes early. So this will be a record. Could somebody note that, please? I'm going to stop there because the next one's we're going to change the subject and move on as we get into a little bit of chapter 7. So I will do that. You duly note it. We can be dismissed in prayer. Thanks for being here today. Our Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful, Lord, for you, Lord.